Welcome back. I'm Jill Geisler of the Poynter Institute and author of the book Work Happy, What Great Bosses Know. You know, even great bosses have flaws and sometimes they fumble. But what sets them apart is their willingness, even their eagerness, to do something about it and set things right. Now, I'm not talking about major character flaws like lying or cheating or systematically abusing people. I'm talking about bad habits. Now, bosses often learn about those bad habits in their annual performance reviews, or sometimes they find out when a colleague or an employee cares enough to just tell them about it, tells them that something that they are doing is getting in their own way. For example, you may not be a great listener, or you may have occasional problems with your temper. You may not follow up on emails as effectively as you should. You may be slow in posting work schedules. You may need to give more consistent and deeper feedback to people. I know about those kinds of issues because that's the kind of feedback that bosses in our workshops often have been given. So I help them work through it and put a plan together for setting things right. And when I coach them, here are some of the tips I give. Number one, take the critique to heart. It may sting at first. You may think, with all the other good I do for you, how can this one small thing be so important? But what you have to do is look at the world through the eyes of the other person, not you. You may think that, oh, when I check on your work, I'm just trying to make sure that we have high quality and that you succeed. But if the person is feeling that you don't trust him or her, then you need to see the world through their eyes as well. Number two, you need to apologize to anybody affected by your bad habits. Now, I'm not talking about groveling or blubbering, and it doesn't make you weak to apologize. In fact, it makes you strong. I mean, think about this. If you look somebody in the eye and say, I've been giving a lot of thought to what you've told me, and I didn't realize how often I shoot down your suggestions, and I do it with sarcasm. I thought I was just debating, and it was kind of give and take, but I was wrong. And I apologize for humiliating you. Now, if you say something like that, you've demonstrated true strength. Number three, you've got to chart a course of change. You've got to plan how that change is going to take place. If you have been somebody who shoots down ideas and you thought it was just a matter of the give and take in the marketplace, then you need to say to yourself, how am I going to change the way I respond? I'm not going to just sit there silently. I need to say something constructive. So you also might, when you make this plan, do this. Number four, invite observation and feedback. Tell some people who really matter to you, especially those who've been negatively affected by your behavior, about what you plan to do. Ask them to watch you. Ask them to tell you if they see a difference and if the difference seems to be effective. This is where allies are really important. Don't just talk to the people you've offended. Talk to a few other people whose opinions really matter in the workplace. Tell them, you know, I'm going to really work on responding to emails a little more quickly. So would you keep an eye and let me know how you think I'm doing? I've set a sort of 48-hour rule for myself that nothing is going to be left alone for 48 hours. The reason this is important is that when you stop doing something that irritates people, well, sometimes they don't notice the absence as much as they notice the presence, so you need other people looking out for that absence to know that you've really made a difference. Number five, you need to be authentic in this whole process. I'm not talking about being radically different. Don't shut down. If you've been asked to be a little less vocal in meetings, for example, don't sit there stone-faced and silent because that's not authentic. Just modify your behavior so that it conforms with what people really need from you. Because what we're trying to do is modify behavior, not change you as a person. We want to make a better version of you. And when we do that, there's no question you're going to become an even better boss. I'm Jill Geisler of the Poynter Institute.